You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
As discussed previously, across the Motu, we have seen a variety of fires, most recently being the fires in Mangere Mountain, which had resulted in smoke warnings for 40 kilometres, reaching all the way to Piha in West Auckland. I spoke to senior lecturer in the School of Biological Sciences and fire ecologist, Dr. Nicola Day, at the Victoria University of Wellington, about our susceptibility to wildfires amidst the climate crisis and what needs to be done to better prepare for events such as these recent bouts of blazes in the future. Recently, we have seen a variety of wildfires occur across the country, such as with the Blackjack Fire in Kuotunu in the Coromandel, the Inafata Beach Fire, which trapped 7 people, and the Tohorokuri Forest Fire near Taupō, and the Parewanui Blaze near Bulls. How much of a concern are these wildfires?
Yeah, those are all really good wildfires to mention. I'll also mention the one in Craigieburn that happened before Christmas, and that was in the South Island. How much of a concern are they? I mean, I think they're a real high concern, and there's a lot of modelling that has shown that we're going to have areas that have, you know, with climate change, that areas that have been warm and dry in the past will just get warmer and drier, and then areas that have been wet will continue to get wetter. And it sort of suggests to us that this is starting to happen just anecdotally in New Zealand over the last sort of 5 or 6 years. We've started to get more wildfires, but mainly like really large wildfires in places that we might not have had to worry about before, or at times of the year that we didn't have to worry about before. So one thing that I'm not sure has been really covered in the LA wildfires, but like, you know, California is a system that, in an ecological sense, it's evolved with fire. And so fires are not massively unusual in California. That is not the case here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. But also the fact that in LA, it's happening in what is their winter. And so that's a bit of a concern. And again, in Aotearoa, New Zealand, if you think about like the Lake Oho fire that happened a few years ago, that was a really large wildfire for New Zealand standards, and that happened just at the beginning of spring, when usually the vegetation should be too wet and it should be too cool to actually ignite, but that actually was one of our most devastating wildfires in recent history. So I think we should be concerned, and it's just increasing in places that we love to live and play. So we need to get better prepared, I think, for it.
You mentioned the LA wildfires. How much of a concern are these wildfires on an international level? In a 2022 study, the study found that New Zealand is susceptible to severe wildfire conditions due to rising greenhouse gas buildup in the atmosphere. Is this a sort of similar pattern that we're seeing overseas as well?
Yeah, so I was just reading some expert reactions from the Science Media Centre about how 2024 has been declared, you know, the hottest year on record. But we say that every year now. Is at start every year, we look back on the previous year and we look at our, you know, weather climate averages across the globe, and we always say, oh, look, it's quite a bit warmer than it was, and like statistically significantly warmer. And whether people feel that or not is, you know, you can't question the data. So wildfire activity is really increasing in many parts of the globe, and areas that have previously burned a lot will burn more. They'll burn more regularly, larger fires and more severe fires. And so where I did my fire ecology training, if you like, was actually in subarctic forests in northern Canada, in the boreal forest. And that's a system that has evolved with fire, but they are just getting more and more quite devastating, widespread fires that are quite outside the usual conditions. Another really good example is the wildfires that have been experienced in Australia in the last few years that are completely unprecedented with the amount of area that's been affected. So yes, with climate change, we are seeing more and more intense wildfire risk and wildfire conditions, and that's going to be true for Aotearoa New Zealand as well.
And what regions in New Zealand are more susceptible to these wildfires?
So the modelling suggests that Aotearoa New Zealand areas that are most at risk of increased wildfire activity are dry and warm areas, so parts of the eastern parts of the country largely, and the central Otago, so areas that have always been quite hot and dry. One thing that I think, again, just looking at the LA situation, so LA has experienced this ongoing drought. You know, California, it's often in drought conditions, it's a very low precipitation environment, much like our east coast. We actually have a Mediterranean-like climate, which is sort of on par with some parts of California. And so there's been these, you know, successive dry years. And then last year, they had a lot of precipitation. So they had a lot of water, and then plants grew better. They grew back big. And they grew back. Yeah, so there's a lot of sort of fuel, essentially, for these wildfires. So I was just thinking about this in terms of parts of New Zealand that we've seen, you know, times where there's been these really, really dry conditions, and then you suddenly get this big downpour and quite often quite terrible flooding. And then what happens after that is that the vegetation, because there's so much water, it'll grow back quite well after a drought. But that is actually really excellent fuel for a wildfire. So, yeah, just because you're getting lots of rain doesn't mean that you're immune from having fires happen.
Touching a little bit more on New Zealand's climate conditions, do you believe our infrastructure to combat these wildfires are adequate enough at the moment, or does more work need to be done?
I'm not entirely familiar at the whole of Aotearoa scale of what the infrastructure is, but I mean, I've seen advertisements lately for the need for more full-time firefighters, and so that's potentially not really infrastructure, but it's a preparedness aspect that I think that we are quite underprepared for wildfire activity in Aotearoa, New Zealand, partly because we haven't really had to worry about it on a large scale. We've got a larger population now. We've got people sort of living in more different places, and so, you know, just because of that and probabilities, yeah, people will be more affected by it. But I think we just, yeah, genuinely haven't really had a lot of preparedness around fires. We tend to be quite well prepared for things like earthquakes and volcanoes, but not so much for fire. So people maybe don't think so much about, you know, we have those little like fire warning systems when you're in the rural areas, and people are, you know, fire bans and all of that. But even on top of that, just people's common sense around when they should light fires and making sure that they put fires out properly. In terms of infrastructure, something that there's collaborators of mine that are really interested in looking at this idea of planting plants that don't burn very well around areas that might experience more fires. So again, thinking about the community at Lake Oho in 2020, that area was surrounded by pine trees and scrub that burned really, really well. And that community is now replanting in areas that don't burn as well. And the same with the Port Hills wildfires that have been happening over the last few years. The council there is actually really thinking about, if you do have some plants that burn really well, maybe don't plant them in such high abundance, and try to think about plants that don't burn very well, so that you've got sort of the opportunity to reduce the risk of the travel of fire. And also, yeah, things like buildings and their proximity to fuel, which might be things that are flammable like plants or other buildings that are flammable. But ultimately, kind of in terms of the infrastructure argument, I think the really boring answer that we all just keep repeating whenever we're talking about these sorts of extreme weather events that we're starting to see more and more of, the ultimate answer is that we do need to reduce carbon emissions, and we also need to keep carbon in the ground for as much as we can, because that, as long as it's not in the atmosphere and we're not increasing the concentration of carbon in the atmosphere, then we will have reduced greenhouse effect and then reduced impact of climate change, essentially. So things like infrastructure in terms of just climate management, thinking about things like this is really long-term thinking, but actually, you know, investing in transit and transport options that don't require too much carbon, or public transit, you know, more trains, more, you know, not relying on flying so much, not relying on individual travel so much. And that really needs quite large leadership at like an industry and government level. We can make individual decisions regarding our personal carbon footprints, and that's really important. But ultimately, there's a lot of stuff that's out of the individual's control. And so, yeah, I really think that that's where we need to go to be able to be better prepared for these extreme events that we're increasingly seeing. So one thing that people can really do immediately to prepare is actually have an emergency evacuation kit and an evacuation plan, because there's people right now being told that they have to leave their homes possibly forever. And so thinking about what you might want to put into your emergency preparedness kit to be able to leave quickly is really important.
That was Senior Lecturer in the School of Biological Sciences at the Victoria University of Wellington and Fire Ecologist Dr. Nicola Day on Aotearoa's recent blazes and what needs to be done, what needs to occur in the future to mitigate these events.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.